just a little summary of what you presented on transgenics. You're looking at possibility of a psyllid-killing windbreak.
That's one possibility. We do have a gene that interferes with muscle development in the larval stage of the psyllid nymphs. The issue with that technology is that it would also potentially affect bees, so you would probably have to develop windbreak trees that didn't flower. So that's another challenge that we're working on. There's always a problem with a new strategy. So even if the strategy works, there might be a side component to it that makes it non-viable. So we're trying to address all that up front. So with the windbreaks, we have identified hybrids that grow beautiful, fast-growing, tall trees that are shaped like a cedar tree, and they had a nice shape for a windbreak. They're hybrids of pomelo and popita. So those are candidates to transform with these genes that are disrupting the muscle development in the psyllid, and work that we're doing with Manjul and Nabil Kalini. It's not going to be anything in the next year or two, so it's further downstream.
And of course, the main purpose of windbreaks has been for protection from canker.
That's a big benefit of the windbreak. And another thing you can do, if you have a good windbreak, a citrus windbreak tree, you can also keep those loaded up with your aliquot of the neonics instead of using them in the grove, and maybe you can prevent the psyllids from entering the grove that way, so as a trap plant.
How are you coming along on development of rootstocks that are HLB resistant and tolerant?
Well, in our gauntlet screen, we've got 10 or 12 individual trees on hybrid rootstocks that have had greening for 4 years now, and they're growing like normal trees, so that's exciting. And this year, two of those, the seed trees made seeds for the first time, and they're the right kind of seeds. They're polyembryonic, the kind that we need for the nursery. So we'll be able to put out large-scale trials of those couple of rootstocks, and a couple of the other ones that are not making seeds yet, or they're making the wrong kind of seeds. We've entered into the tissue culture propagation schemes to generate material for those. So we're moving forward with that. We also started using infected Murcott as a quicker tool, as a sentinel screening agent that reacts to the disease much faster than sweet orange. So we might be able to get a reading on rootstocks much more quickly. And we think that if we can find a rootstock that can mitigate the disease in an infected Murcott, it will probably work in any scion, because Murcotts are about the most susceptible scion there is. And we've got a couple in the greenhouse that look really promising. I've got one infected Murcott up to the top of the stake with no symptoms on it, and even though it's infected, but the rootstock is somehow suppressing the population of the bacteria to less than 10% of what we normally find, and that seems to be enough to prevent the symptom development. So if that continues to grow like that in the field, then we might have an answer.
Turning finally to scion breeding, but you talked about the idea of maybe should we replace Hamlins with early maturing Valencias that you all are working on?
Well, I think that's a no-brainer, because Hamlins are having a really hard time with greening, and our orange juice sales are declining. And so, Hamlin is half of our juice. It's half of the NFC product, and yet it has inadequate color and flavor to make a grade A product on its own, and it has to be blended with Valencia. So you can imagine what a boost to the quality of our product will be if you replace all of the Hamlin with Valencia juice. So you're going to have better color in the bottle. It's going to be more attractive, and when somebody buys it and takes it home and drinks it, the flavor is better, so they're going to want to come back and buy more of it. So to me, it's a no-brainer for a tool that we can battle decreased consumption of orange juice with.
Have we got those early maturing Valencias that'll fit that bill?
We have released two clones, EV1 and EV2, that have had higher ratios than Hamlin at Christmas time, and even at Thanksgiving. So they're coming in at the right time. It's a matter of getting them planted. Now, they're not home runs against HLB, but again, with the right rootstock and nutrition program, they should be able to work.
That's all my feeder ideas. Anything else we missed that's huge you'd like to discuss?
Fred Gmitter and I are doing a lot of work on breeding new fresh fruit varieties that are tolerant to greening. And of course, when we identify something like the new Bingo selection that's becoming very popular very quickly, we're already using that as a parent in future crosses. And so now we're making a lot of our crosses where both parents are showing a elevated level of tolerance to HLB. So we're stacking the deck for the tolerance genes and the fruit quality genes, and we expect to have new seedless hybrids coming along that have better tolerance than any Sugar Bell or Bingo, which already have pretty good tolerance. So it's always a continuum, and we're always trying to move the bar forward as fast as we can.